Welcome to Sessions by Monster Chats. Sessions is a new kind of show for us where we ditch the script and instead dig into the real stories behind the people in our professional lives. How do we all come together in this world of entrepreneurship, sales, and unified communications? One session at a time. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking with Daria Svencher. Daria and I are going to be talking about her self-discovery program and her journey as an entrepreneur. I'm Colin Mitchell, the host of Monster Chats and the founder of Monster Voice. Daria is a mindset expert and creator of the self-discovery program called the Dream Sprint. Her work has helped hundreds of people tap into the power of the brain and gain clarity, develop emotional resilience, and define the next steps in life. Daria, welcome to Monster Chats. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you for the introduction, and I'm really excited for our chat.
Yeah, just tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us, you know, where did you grow up and how you decided to become an entrepreneur?
I grew up in Russia, in Siberia. It's the furthest part in Russia. It's the one which has the most of stereotypes. So growing up, I was always questioning like why certain places have different stereotypes and certain countries have different stereotypes. And this is a part of what got me interested into how the brain works. I was always this curious person. I was always asking myself like why somebody thinks a certain way, why somebody believes in certain things, because everything that we believe in, that we think is true, it's very subjective. So basically, arguments have no point. Because if we are both subjective and if we are arguing about something, it would never, like, it can't be productive. Yeah? Mm. So the way I decided to live my life is to actually question my thinking, question my beliefs, and develop this flexibility in life, which allows me to understand other people without judging them. And judgment happens when you compare somebody else's beliefs with your beliefs, and we're not matching. The judgment, it turns on automatically. So coming back to where I grew up. So I grew up in Russia, studying in Moscow. I used to be a TV host in Moscow. And I was kind of like a very public-facing person the whole time and very like business-oriented. I had my startup. I worked at corporations, you know, around the world. So I had this very saturated time in my life. And then at some point, my husband, he decided that he's a tech entrepreneur. So for him, it was Silicon Valley was the best place to be. Mm-hmm. And in the majority of cases, woman follows a man somewhere where, you know, he needs to be. So I did the same. And it was super, super difficult in terms of adjusting to the new reality. And when you're moving somewhere without any specific goals or plans, it can be pretty stressful for just your whole body and, you know, your mind too. Because when we feel so bad and so depressed, when we have nothing to look forward to and we have complete frustration, like what's the next day brings. So I was in the state for some time, and then I realized that I can no longer be in the state. So I just started to find why I was feeling this certain way and what was going on with me. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that basically our human brain, it doesn't tolerate any spontaneous changes that we are not choosing per se. And basically every single person who is going through either career transitions or some kind of loss or some kind of a big change in life which happened to them rather than they inspired this change, they basically become at the same place psychologically, where they are very frustrated, where confidence spirals down, where courage is not possible to express, and basically life becomes kind of like dull and boring. Mm. And I started to figure out how I can undo this
for myself. All right, so let's stop there for a second. All right, so you moved to the U.S. coming from being a very, what it sounded like, a very public figure and a TV host and, you know, doing well in your career and things like that, to then, you know, come to the U.S. for your husband to pursue his dreams and passions. And then you were left in a very dark place where you didn't have, you know, what you had left behind. And you said something early on that you were very curious as a kid, which is such an interesting thing, because all the entrepreneurs that I talk to, that's one common thing. A lot of them are very curious people, you know, seek out knowledge and answers. So you went down this path of starting to look for these answers to find out why you were feeling that way. Where did you find these answers? And what was that process like?
Yeah, it's a great question. This is the interesting way our brain works. Once we put some destination in our mind, and my destination was, okay, I want to know why. I want to know what's going on with me. And circumstances start to align. Yes? Mm-hmm. Circumstances start to align. So I met this woman, and like super randomly, I think I met her on LinkedIn, and I just called, messaged her. I just really loved what she posted. And she was from a totally different world for me. She's a 50-year-old woman living in Cincinnati. So we had nothing in common. But for some reason, her post really, I really loved it. And I reached out to her and say, okay, when you are in San Francisco, and I lived in San Francisco at that point, like, let's chat. And I don't know what prompted me to do this, but I did it. And on this meeting, she told me that she's actually working for Dr. Joe Dispenza. And he's this guy, I don't know if you heard about him. He's the neuroscience guy. He does a lot of experiments in neuroscience. And this is how I got basically introduced to his work. I'd never heard about him before, prior, never. And this was the first nugget of how I got into this world. So I started to just, you know, digest his books, his teachings, and understand what happens with the brain when it's in the place of frustration and when it has basically no plans. And little by little, when you start to accumulate some kind of new information, you immerse yourself in the new information, you start to get different results, yeah? Because if you process the same information, you have the same results. If you get something different in your mind, there is a chance that something will change. So I started to immerse myself in this different world bit by bit. And thankfully, Stanford University was not far from my place, maybe like an hour drive. So I enrolled in professional extension courses on campus at Stanford. And there, my goal was to meet top professors and then to do something with them. I didn't know what, I didn't know how, but I just decided to, you know, express my entrepreneurial spirit and do something. So I met a couple and I was like, okay, I can organize a big public event for you in San Francisco. So you don't have to, you know, just wait for the conference, for the big conference to happen to spread your knowledge. I can do it for you. And I partnered up with a girl and we started to do these big events for neuroscientists to talk about the experiments, but in a way so we can apply them to our real life. Yeah, so they're not just sitting on a bookshelf, so we can apply them. And it was pretty successful. And the neuroscientists, they were like super, super happy because basically I realized that almost nobody does that. There are these conferences which are like super expensive to go and not all people can afford them, like South by Southwest, like Mars by, I mean, on Mars you can't even get because it's personal Jeff Bezos conference. So there are not a lot of places to learn from top scientists. And while I was doing that, of course, I processed an immense amount of information. And I was this kind of like link between the audience and the scientist. And at some point, I realized that I learned so much and I already applied so much that I can start sharing my story of how you can literally get yourself from one place where you don't want to be to another place where you want to be, but you don't know yet how to define this other place.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like that all happened really fast. Can you give us like a little bit of perspective around the timeline of all this?
So I moved to the US in 2016, kind of like beginning of 2016. So it's 4 years already I'm here in the United States. And during the first couple of years, I was doing this. So it was years. It was not months.
Okay. And you've been featured in a lot of places for your work. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm a marketing person. As I mentioned, I'm a business person. So I know that if you, you know, if you want to get the word out, you must know how to tell the story. And if you know how to tell the story, you can find people who are, you know, whose job is to actually cover the stories. So there is no magic in that. Just a lot of confidence and courage, I think, because I think that those are two most important qualities, not even the talent, not even the experience or the expertise. Courage and confidence comes first. And when you are able to act courageously, and it means that you are literally overcoming your fear every time, you're super fearful, but you still do this and you do this awfully, but it still works. Because when you do something, there is many more chances that something happens in comparison with you do nothing. So there is still more chances anyways, even if you do it miserably. So this is kind of like my philosophy. I'm type of like, I'm not a perfectionist, like not at all. I'm 87% type of person. So, yeah. And for my personality, it works. I know that for some people, it doesn't work. So that's why I'm always inspiring people to do self-discovery and not just to see a pattern and try to apply clothes that don't fit you. You know, like you can't just take somebody else's clothes and put them on and expect that they would fit perfectly. Yeah, you should discover your own features, your own measurements, and then like go get a custom clothing if you want it to fit perfectly.
Right. So how do you get these people in a state of like going to a new elevated place or their dream or aspirations or passions when they don't even know what that is yet?
Self-discovery. So that's why I created this program, and it's a self-discovery one. But actually, why I get so many results, like the completion rate of my program is 89%.
Wow.
So, and you know that for online courses, the completion rate is like 4%. Because this illusion of when you buy something online, in 98% chances, you won't be acting on it right away. Because there is nothing pressuring you. You feel this dopamine when you buy something, you do the action, but it's like an illusion of action. Yeah, same way with the books.
Yeah,
buying books or reading books and not applying stuff and nothing changes. So the main thing in my program, which I do, it's actually very rough accountability. And that's why it's not like a self-paced program. You buy it anytime. No, not at all. It's actually pretty hard to even purchase it, because first you must complete the challenge during 10 days. Yes. And first 10 days are free for all. But if you only complete this 10-day challenge, you can have an opportunity to go forward.
Okay. So talk to me about how many people go into the 10-day challenge and what's the completion rate on that before they can then be considered for the actual program.
Yeah. So for Dayton Challenge, the completion rate is approximately, I think, 50 to 60%.
Just still pretty high.
Yeah, of course, because the way it works, I'm sending challenges to the group every 3 or 4 days. And there is a rough deadline to submit the challenge, you know, like in school. And if you submit the challenge, you go forward, you're admitted to the next class. And if you're not, you're deleted forever. So, and it's kind of like, if you make a decision and if you decide to take actions, this exact format helps you to keep yourself on schedule. And so many people just write in with Daria, thank you for forcing us. Thank you for like deleting people from the group. It's so motivating to do things because this is how we are trained. We are trained, you know, by like sugar and carrot, by stick and carrot. And this exact format works because when you are having these constraints and when you have some kind of consequences, this is when you can do this. And you know, the majority of people do these challenges like an hour before the deadline. This is just how people do things. But still,
yeah,
better than nothing.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so talk to me, like, can you give us some examples, like, what would a challenge be?
Okay, so I can uncover a little bit of a veil behind the scenes. Uh-huh. So the first challenge, it's the only, like, physical challenge that we do, where you actually gotta go and, like, do something physically. And sometimes people have a lot of clutter in their minds and these random thoughts that go in and out, and they can't. They just can't manage them. So, and you can't start with organizing your thoughts right away. It's just not possible. So the first challenge, it's actually to organize your environment via KonMari method.
Mm, okay.
So you just, have you heard about Marie Kondo?
No, Marie Kondo,
it's like this big movement of a specific type of organizing your environment,
okay,
basically
yes,
decluttering.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the first challenge. You declutter at least 30 or 40 objects from every room in your house and unnecessary photos and apps on your phone.
30 or 40. What if you don't have 30 or 40 items to
declutter? You do have, like, everything counts. Like little paper, little note, like a receipt that you for some reason keep in your, you know, in your purse, like every single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing, it requires our energy to keep it.
Mm.
So that's why when you are, like, even kitchen pantry, I mean, I'm sure you can find some expired nuts or something.
I'm such a minimalist, so I'm just thinking, because I don't like to keep stuff. So if it's a clothing item that I haven't worn, I donate it. Receipts go in the trash. Like, I'm very, like, I don't like a lot of stuff. So I'm just thinking, I don't think I could come up with 40 items to get rid of.
In this case, I have like people who already, like, do this just by their nature.
Yeah.
In this case, I think in your digital environments, you can find something.
Oh yeah.
To organize.
Yes.
So there's always an option. You know, some people are super organized digitally. Like, they have all these folders, like color code, you know, when you are seeing a Gmail of another person and it's, like, color coded, perfectly organized with, like, different colors of the stars and everything. Like, wow. People just do. So there is always the next step. And actually, digital world nowadays has even more effect because we spend more time digitally.
Mm.
And this is where where you spend more time, this is where the majority of your attention goes to, yeah? And when your attention goes to and you have a lot of things, it means that your mental energy will be wasted on monitoring everything.
Right. Yeah, I think that my digital space could use a little decluttering.
You see?
Okay, all right, so then... What have been some of the biggest challenges of creating this program, or, like, really, it seems like you're really focused on wanting the program to have, you know, the biggest impact and the most success with the people that go through it. So, you know, hence why you're very selective of who goes into the program. So what have been some of your biggest challenges with the program?
I mean, it's as every entrepreneurial venture, you got to just do this. You got to just do this. You got to just not wait for a perfection. Actually, on July 15th, my 18th group starts.
Mm.
18th. So it's consistency, yeah? And in order to get consistency, you have to start and you have to make mistakes and you have to learn things on the go. There is no time to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
So when I actually pre-announced my program, I had all content in me, in myself, because I was using all these things, but I didn't have anything prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'll put it out there. I'll market it. I'll position it, but I will do it on the go with the group. And so this is how I started. And from that point, it was just consistency. doesn't matter rain or shine, doesn't matter if like hundreds of people signed up or just a couple of dozens, doesn't matter. I was still doing this every single month or like 3-4 weeks.
Okay. So tell me, how has the group changed now that you're in the 18th group versus the first iteration of the program?
Very easy. I mean, in terms of the demographics in the group, of course, in the first
program. No, I mean, as far as like the courses and like what you do, you know, because I think one thing that you said that stood out, which I totally agree with, is a lot of entrepreneurs want to try to get it perfect and they think a lot and don't take a lot of action. So something you said is like, you just got to start doing it and then you learn and improve along the way. So what changes have you made along the way to get it to, you know, where it is today versus the first iteration?
Oh yeah, first iteration was a completely DIY. And the way I hosted it, I host the program, it's on WhatsApp. So it's actually a group chat where you can't message. It's just like one-way communication. And then I sent 15, 20 minutes audio messages. So you would listen to them like you would listen to a podcast. Mm-hmm. And then you have some like specific assignments to do. And so the first one was, of course, like no branding, no fancy printables. I've sent because I couldn't continue my thought for like 15 or 20 minutes. I was sending like a lot, like 3-minute messages, 2-minute messages, which I think was pretty annoying because in WhatsApp, if you know, you can't, they do not autoplay. You have to press separately every single message. So I think this was pretty annoying. So, and then my speaking got more concise. And I was able to deliver, and I am able to deliver messages, you know, in a more kind of like on point manner right now. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, some branding, some design elements, all these things, they came with experience.
Mm, okay, great. Good to know. All right. So now, before I let you go, please tell people where they can find you online, where they can find out more about your program and the things that you're working on.
For sure. The website is thedreamsprint.com. Yeah.
So okay. And where can they connect with you on social media or any other channels?
Instagram. My first name underscore my last name.
Okay, great. If you are listening to the podcast, please subscribe, share with your friends. We're listening for your feedback. The show is all about you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sessions by Monster Chats, presented to you by Monster VoIP. Monster VoIP started, frankly, because we were sick and tired of getting gouged on our business phone bill and getting dropped calls all of the time. Today, Monster VoIP serves over 6,000 customers and is passionate about saving businesses money and giving them the features that they need in a modern tech stack for today's companies. Text TRIAL to 424-378-6966 to get your free trial of Monster VoIP.